I love the phrase children and mystics together because the category I've always had of a mystic, and I've always wanted to be one, but I've always seen it like that's the opposite of childlike. Like a mystic is somebody who is off the grid, who has spent decades.
Someone who looks like him.
Yeah, looks
all
like
gray. John. Yeah, gray coming off the gym.
That's the Gandalf pipe.
Yeah. Yes.
And so to go, actually, you know, and you used the phrase two ordinary mystics.
Yes.
And that's so helpful to go, we can actually be and do that when we just want God's presence and choose to walk with him.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Wild at Heart podcast. Here in the week of April 29th, there was a very funny moment last week after we stopped recording. We were cheering. We only got to half of our content. Yes! It was a very funny moment in the effort to slow it down and give it a soul's pace.
Yes.
We're cracking up because this is going to extend as a series, as it should be. Okay, so a couple things for you guys to know before we jump in. Questions. If you would like to ask us a question about this series or anything we've covered, in fact, just if you have a question, you can email us your question. And in a couple of episodes, when we're done with this, we'll do an episode answering some of those. So they might be questions about this, or they might be about other things we've covered this year, whatever. And the address, the email address for that's in the show notes. I think it's questions@wildatheart.org. Questions@wildatheart.org. So that's fun to be able to send some of your questions in. And then also a big thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who is supporting us. Wild at Heart as a mission and in the world, and we are all over the world now, is supported by you. It's a crowdfunded nonprofit, and we live month to month by the generosity of our friends, and our staff actually are big givers to it as well. So way to go, guys. That's awesome. It's one of Stacy and my favorite things to do is to give to this. We love supporting this. So there's a link in the show notes this week if you'd like to get on there and help this go forward and get into other languages and get around the world. That would be awesome. Thank you for that. Now let's take our pause. Let's just take a moment now and recenter from wherever you've been in your day and in your week. Breathe. You know how this works. This is part of the amphibious life. This is learning to be ordinary mystics. And so we pray, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I turn towards you. I turn my heart towards you. And I suddenly realize how much I'm carrying. And so I give everyone and everything to you. Everyone. Everything. Just take a few moments to release the things that you have got to just set down. I am turning towards you, God. I am giving you my attention with my heart and my soul and my mind. Restore our union. Breathe your life into me this day and continue to speak to me here in this week's podcast. Amen. Okay. So, yeah, I just delighted that we only got to about half the things we wanted to say last time because that's the right pace.
Yeah.
And this is it's almost like a process of detox, of recognizing internet discipleship and really, you know, discipleship to an age and all the things about it, the amount of content that you take in, mm-hmm. being one example of that, the pace of life being right. another. Okay, so what we were covering was that there is a habitat in which human beings flourish. We are created to live an amphibious life. And earlier, a couple episodes back, we were talking about a frog. If you take a frog and put it only in water, it dies. If you put it only in a terrarium of dry land, it dies. It needs both environments to be well. And so do human beings. We're created to, yes, live in the natural world and bike and enjoy coffee and laugh and go to work and raise kids and do all the things that human beings do, but saturated with the habitat of God, drawing our life from God. And I was thinking about the John 15 passage, I am the vine and you are the branches, Jesus says. Remain in me. He urges us. He's like, remain in me, situate yourself in me, and you will flourish, right? Get outside of me, he says, and it's not going to go well. Like, you will dry up, okay? So that was kind of where we were, and we were talking about being amphibians or mystics and childlike. What do you remember from that? Help flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah. What really stuck with me was what you were sharing, Alan, and terms of a child and that piece of they just trust. They trust that you've got it figured out. You know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know what's happening.
Yeah.
And they don't have to think about that. They just get to go along for the ride. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful picture of what childlike faith looks like. It's trust.
Yeah. I love the phrase children and mystics together, because the category I've always had of a mystic, and I've always wanted to be one, but I've always seen it like that's the opposite of childlike. Like a mystic is somebody who is off the grid, who has spent decades.
Someone who looks like him.
Looks
all
like
gray. John. Yeah. Gray coming off the gym.
That's the Gandalf pipe.
Yeah. You know? Yes,
And so to go, actually, you know, and you used the phrase to ordinary mystics.
Yes.
And that's so helpful to go, we can actually be and do that when we just want God's presence and choose to walk with him and be a disciple of his. And so that, John was, and Alex, very free, like last week, just to say, it's not something down the road, like a graduate degree. Mm-mm. It's something we can live in simplicity and love.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I'm just realizing, folks, this is part four, and we're referring to conversations that we've had.
Yeah.
And language like ordinary mystics and stuff. And you're like, whoa, where are these? What the? If you haven't caught that, you might want to go back and get those conversations. But yeah, right. Versus the adult and the disciple of the internet who is guarded and skeptical, right? And prove it to me. And the great thing about children is they don't need to understand stuff in order to totally enjoy it and be nourished by it, right? Yeah. Like, they don't understand snow and what makes snow, but, you know, the evening and the snow is falling and it's Christmas Eve, come on. Mm. Like, the child is, they're drinking it in. They are nourished by the experience without needing to know any of the science of it. Mm. Yeah, so that's
good.
Children and mystics, amphibians, meaning beings that are made to live and move in two environments. Okay. So we were talking about the habitat of God. We were talking about how discipleship to the internet and to this age has just yanked people out of that habitat. And thinking back to the Jeremiah 17 passage, you're either a dry bush in a dry land, a parched land. And that word kind of stung when I read that last time. Parched. I think my soul feels parched too often. Mm-hmm. So you, people are either bushes in a parched land that are famished, or trees planted by the river, evergreen, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I ended last time by saying that the ordinary mystic, meaning it's not wild and it's not crazy and it's not out there, because sometimes there is a tradition in Christian mysticism. If you read some of like the Cloud of Unknowing, or you read some, I don't want to start incriminating, you know, beautiful ancient saints, but like some of the stuff is just weird. I mean, it's just, it's too out there. Okay. It's too ethereal.
Yeah.
And we're talking about ordinary. Like, so what I ended last time was the ordinary mystic experiences the presence of God.
Yeah.
Jesus, Papa, Holy Spirit, as a daily source of communion and nourishment, they hear the voice of God in daily living. These are just examples of what do we mean? Okay. They're able to enter into that inner communion with Jesus, the reason that we take the pause, right? Shut out the world, let everything go, tune in, and oh, there you are, right? The inner communion with Jesus who dwells within us. And just essentially, they draw their life from God. They're replanted by the river. They're back, or they're trying to move back into the habitat, right?
Yeah.
So that was our review from last time. To get us going into the conversation this week, I want to tell some stories, because I think people are like, okay, now, like what? Like, give me an example of that. So we're going to tell some from history. We're going to tell some from some of the amazing things going on around the world right now, but we're also just from our own lives. Like, you guys have sought this life.
Yeah.
And we're learning, right? We're ordinary mystics wanting to become mature mystics. Okay. So for example.
Yeah. Can I have permission to give a couple?
Two, please.
Or a few.
Please.
It actually just came to me as you were talking at the start of this. Just an example from today. Such a cool little thing that happened, and very ordinary, very simple. Got up this morning, was praying in my day, praying into, you know, what's coming up for the rest of the weekend here, and inviting God in. And then I just took a quick moment to try to listen and go, okay, Jesus, what do you have to say? What's helpful for today? And all I heard was just one little small thing, and it was, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And you had quoted that scripture.
And you didn't know I was going to do that.
No, I didn't know you were going to do that. And it's just the richness of that, right? Like,
yes.
I have friendship with Jesus.
Yes.
He knows me. He knows what was going to be said this morning. And it brings me right back to what he said this morning.
Yeah.
And what's even cooler is that's my word for the year. It's it's remain.
Oh, right on.
Was the word he gave. And so this morning when he brought that to me, it brought me back to the beginning of the year, right? Remain. And that idea of remain in me, I'll remain in you. And so just a simple thing in my morning that was really fun and connects me to God,
yes.
Grounds me in God.
Yes. So. Yeah. The invitation back into the habitat. But then for him to do that, that I didn't know that he said that to you and you didn't know I was going to read that passage. I love those sweet little intimacies where he just goes, you heard me.
Yeah.
That was right.
Yeah. The other story I was going to tell, you know, this is something that we've been practicing for a while, is the idea of dropping into Jesus dwells within us, right? So you've talked about this on the podcast and
it's been a while.
Episodes.
So please go.
But that idea that we can commune with Jesus within us. And so, you know, as you've been teaching us some things like prayer of descent, and if if our listeners haven't heard of that, they can go back to...
We'll put it in the show notes, Alan.
Other podcasts.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say it was a season where I was feeling some stress and I was feeling some overwhelmed and I needed God. And so I was like, this morning would be a great time for me to try to practice this. And so I did. And started dropping down into my heart, letting go of things, right? And taught us to, you know, let go of, release everyone and everything.
Yeah.
And release all the competing thoughts that are going on and begin to drop down. So I did. And I was like, Jesus, where do you want to go? Where do you want to meet? And he said, come with me. And it was a little different because I, you know, when I've been practicing it, I often will just be there just with Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it's just this moment with him, but I'm not in a place. I wouldn't describe it as anything, but he said, come with me.
Mm.
And, I'm a mountaineer. I love the mountains. And we ended up, you know, didn't have to climb there. We just ended up there, but
yes,
we're on this col. So this like saddle above the alpine, like yes, up in the alpine.
Yes.
And there's a little stone, hut up there. And I love mountain huts. And I walk inside and he's making a meal. And there's a fire going in the fireplace and it's just the two of us. And it was the first time in a long time that I've really had just a conversation with Jesus that felt two-way. Most of the time, I feel like my conversations with him are either me expressing my heart to him mostly,
yeah,
or him speaking something to me. But this was actually, as you're describing, ordinary, felt very ordinary. And it was literally an extended, I think I spent an hour went by that morning in this conversation with him. And I would say something, he would respond, and he would say something, and I would respond. And it was just this back and forth conversation. And there was nothing in that conversation that I can sit here today and go, you know, oh, this big, huge revelation came out of that.
Yes.
But there was a huge revelation out of that time with God where I have this friendship with Jesus that was growing in that moment, right? Like, you know, you and I we've gone and fished on the river before together, right?
Yes.
And I think that's grown our friendship.
Yes.
Right. And yeah, there's this understanding between us of we've had that experience together.
Right.
And we have a deeper friendship because of it. And that time with Jesus felt like that.
Oh, sweet. Right? Yes.
And so two quick examples of...
Oh, that is such a good story. Can we linger with that for a moment?
Yeah.
Thank you for saying ordinary.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very simple.
Right.
And very, very beautiful. Right? And if we bring a little bit of our conversation to it, you didn't try and figure out, how is this happening?
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't stop during sex to ask about the neuroscience.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Or talk to your wife about hormones.
You know?
Like, you didn't, like the child was just there.
Oh, yeah.
Your heart was just there. I'm good. Yeah. You don't have to explain to me how this is happening.
Yeah.
And I don't need to know, where are we actually right now?
Right.
Like, is this real? Am I in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
You were just enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it was an interesting moment because I think that is my temptation a lot of times is to try to evaluate what's going on. And right.
Yeah.
And that happens to me when I'm in, that will happen to me when I'm in, what I would describe as mystical moments,
yes,
of an experience of God,
yes,
where I'm overthinking it and I'm evaluating what's going on. Is that me? And And that morning, for yes. some reason, yes. I didn't have any of that. It did yeah. feel like you're saying, it felt very childlike. Mm. We were together. Mm. We were having conversation and yeah. it flowed. Like yes. there was no effort to it.
Yes.
And something was deepened
yes.
in our friendship and connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's lasted within me.
Oh, I think what I also want to say, so we're telling stories this week to draw our listeners in to become ordinary mystics, because this is nourishment.
Right.
Yeah. It's habitat. Yeah. We don't seek this just for the curiosity
right.
of it or for cool experiences. Like that time, there are two phrases I want to give, two words I want to tell our listeners to pay special attention to. When Jesus says, come, mm-hmm. and when he says, look. Mm. He uses those two words with me a lot.
Yeah.
And I've learned to pay attention. And so when he said, hey, come with me.
Yeah.
You went, okay.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't yeah. ask, well, where? Mm-hmm. You know, it's yes. Okay. When Christ says that to you folks, like go with him.
Yeah.
And we've had other members of our staff and yeah. kind of, we live in this lovely fellowship of ordinary mystics globally. Mm-hmm. And we'll swap stories. And the word come, like that, or come with me, or let's go.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Or look, he will use that for me sometimes when I'm just with him and he wants to show me something. Mm. And we're not going somewhere. There's something he needs to make clear to me.
Right.
Or, yeah, I mean, it's always his invitation. And so I guess the other part I wanted to say, like that, Alex, that is just such a beautiful story. You weren't making it up.
No. Yeah, right.
It wasn't being produced from your imagination. Gosh, I wonder what it would be like to go with Jesus to the mountains. That's very different. That's imagination.
Yes.
You are in an actual mystic habitat experience with God.
Yep.
And I would say, super common for ordinary mystics down through the ages.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I'd say too, John, is you have to be willing to live with some mystery, because just like you just said,
yeah.
like I wasn't making it up. I wasn't
yes.
imagining it.
Yes.
But it sure looks a lot like imagination.
Mm.
But I know my imagination's consecrated to God.
Mm.
And I know
you
he's
weren't
there.
Cooking it up.
I wasn't cooking it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's that piece too,
that's
where
so
I think sometimes we got to get out of our head and not overthink things.
Be comfortable with mystery.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chesterton has this beautiful line where he says, the ordinary man has always been sane because the ordinary man was always a mystic. And then he goes on to say, mysticism keeps people sane.
Wow.
And wow. So that's beautiful. Thank you for those stories.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love those stories, Alex. So I have a look story and a see story. The one that's just an everyday way God is inviting me more and more to be just an ordinary mystic. A few weeks ago, Chase, my youngest son, came into a room at the home where I'm working on a puzzle. And I think I've shared in the podcast, that's a peaceful thing for me just to kind of put order out of chaos. But it takes me a long time. And so I'm working on a puzzle. I just took it out of the box, 500-piece puzzle. And Chase walks in and he said, hey, what you doing? And I said, just putting a puzzle together. And he goes, can I join you? And I said, yeah, it's going to take a while, but yeah. Well, in probably 35, 40 minutes, he had done doing most of the work, the whole puzzle. And that would have, I would have done 10 pieces at a time over like 2 months or whatever the math would be. And we laughed and we were playful and it was easy and it was done. And he pats me on the back and goes, man, that was fun, and walks away. And God said, look, that was that word, the phrase you were using was just stop, look. And in a few minutes, God just unpacked for me, Alan, you, a lot of times in life, will make things way more complex and complicated and not do things because you think it's going to take a lot of work in a long time. Mm. And he's been fathering me through a real example because I was listening to his voice and I was present to what he was trying to show me through a child, my son, adult son. But he was showing me things can happen in my timing a lot faster than you think. And it was just a beautiful moment that he's fathered me with 100 times since then, mm-hmm. where there'll be a project at home that I normally would go, yeah, I need to wait a month on that. And he's like, actually, we can do this in 10 minutes if you want to. And so God and I go into it and that feels surreal to me. Like I never was fathered that way from my dad, but God is doing that in a wild way, showing me new things. The other story was just the wildest thing, and you guys were a part of this, but when we were in Australia, there was a moment, we were there on a mission for men and halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And there came a moment, John, where you said, hey, Alan, I think some of the things that we're talking about and that you're struggling with in terms of justice, in terms of feeling alone, we were just talking about various topics, and you came back to me and said, I think it has to do with something when you were 15. And I had no idea what you meant. And I said, okay, well, let's pray. And we prayed, still didn't know. Well, later that day, God revealed to me what had happened when I was 15 that was a catalyst for all that had happened in my life since, that had been a blind spot to me, just something I hadn't seen. And some of the podcast listeners will remember about a year and a half ago, we did a podcast on a Halloween night when I was 15, and I was coming home from a party, and I was a freshman driving, had two buddies with me who were freshmen, went to a senior high schooler's home, parents were away, and it was Halloween night, a weird night, first time I'd ever had anything to drink with alcohol, and bottom line was I was on the way home. And passed out in the car, going about 45 miles an hour.
And you're driving.
Driving, mm-hmm. No seat belts. You know, the two guys with me, the other freshmen, I'm driving them home and myself home. And I passed out down this curving residential area. And my car crossed traffic, jumped the lane, the curb, into, thankfully, a really large space yard of a home. And the car was totaled. It just crashed into trees in the yard, stopped about 10 feet from the brick home. My head had knocked into the windshield, blood, later found out I had a concussion, but dazed to look around, car smoking. I could tell it was totaled. And my friends are gone and I don't know where they are. And there's about 30 people around the car, mostly high schoolers, kind of looking inside the window and watching. And the owner of the home is on his front doorstep, raging, yelling at me. And I wake up to this. And as a 15-year-old, don't really know what to do. My door won't open. So I have to slide across the glass in the car seat to the passenger's door and get out. And I just start walking home. And it's about a 2-mile walk home. And midnight, Halloween night, weird, dark, creepy vibe and atmosphere. And I made an agreement in that moment of, yeah, I am all alone. And so I made a lot of agreements on the way home. Well, so John, when you named is something when you were 15, I knew that it happened back in time. Mm. I didn't associate my age as 15 and all that had gone on in that moment. And so you invited me the next day when I told you this is the event that God is saying is it. Mm-hmm. You asked me, do you want to go back to your 15-year-old self with Jesus for healing? Well, I've never done anything like that. It felt super out there, mystical, and a little bit like, well, what if we try and Jesus isn't there? What if, because you were saying you don't answer when I'm at leading you through this as yourself, but let the 15-year-old speak. And we did go into that time. And one of the questions you asked was, this 15-year-old me was, where are you? And I said, well, I'm in between crashing my car and my home. And you said, where do you want to go? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. My 15-year-old was speaking. I don't know, because I don't want to go back to the wreck, source of shame and a lot of just craziness. And I don't want to go home because that doesn't feel like a safe place to say what happened or to have any interpretation of any kind. And so we sat there in prayer and
Jesus enters the street with you.
Jesus is, yeah.
He's with you.
He's with me.
Yeah.
Which in the moment of when it happened, I didn't see him, you know, when I was 15, but I saw him then when I'm reliving it. And when you asked me again, where do you want to go? I looked at Jesus and I just knew the answer was the beach. I want to go to the beach. And I remember, John, you said, that's it. I was seeing a picture of an ocean as I was asking you that question.
Yeah.
And so will you let Jesus take you there? And he did. And it was an amazing moment. We come out of prayer. And one of the things I told you was, I realize I have been walking that street for 40 plus years as my 15-year-old part of me stuck in a situation where I felt I couldn't trust other people, I couldn't trust myself, a lot of shame, and just a lot of uncertainty about everything. And that's where a younger part of me has been frozen, which affected everything about me as a man in my 50s, meaning, you know, do I trust people? Yeah. Why do I want justice so much in small situations as well as large? Mm. And so it was an incredibly wild, but very real experience. It wasn't an imagined thing. I was there seeing and listening to my 15-year-old self. And then we prayed for freedom and release and healing of all that had gone on in that moment. And after that, John, I told you, you had to run to an appointment after that, after we were done. And I remember telling you later, like, I couldn't quit smiling for like 2 hours.
Yes.
I was by myself and I couldn't, it felt like 100-pound weight had gone off me.
Yes.
And and then just to add one last detail. And so while we were in Australia, my mom had moved to an assisted living place near me out of Texas. And while we were in Australia, my sister was in Texas and had just, when we were experiencing that moment as a 15-year-old me, my sister had just cleared the house out for the final load of things from that home that I grew up in as a 15-year-old and was locking the door for the last time that either one of us would ever be in that home. And I didn't know that in the moment, but I found that out a few days later and it was like, Jesus, you have miraculously closed a chapter that the enemy meant to really take me out and that had tangible negative effect on me as a grown man through the healing, going back in time to my 15-year-old self. So that's a wilder version of what he can do.
Yeah, right. But not that wild. It's not that wild. This is very ordinary mysticism, biblical, absolutely.
Yeah, Alan, that story too, because I was there that weekend, and I remember when John said, I think it's a 15-year-old you, and you'd shared that with me, and you had no idea. You're like, but I don't know what that is. And I remember how it, like, I could feel a little bit of the hopelessness in you of like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to help because I don't know what the thing is. And then to uncover like this huge story in your life, like to bring that back. And then to see, like you said, you had this just, you know, the smile on your face that afternoon after we reconnected.
And
so much joy.
So much joy. And the knowledge of what it was about, you're right. I had no idea. And the thing was, I didn't sit for hours journaling going, is it this? Is it that? Is it this?
Yeah, right.
It was actually later that day. And it was like, God just downloaded it to me.
Here's what it is.
Yeah.
He just goes,
yeah.
Look, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So the whole thing was this,
yes.
This intimate rescue of a part of me that it would have been easy to go, no, I'm just a very driven man who wants justice and here in my 50s. And like, God was like, no, we're still going back in time to heal something from back when you were 15, a freshman in high school today.
Jesus is beautiful. And if we will look and come, if we will allow for the mystery, like that we have 1,000 stories like that we could tell from inner healing sessions with people. You allow for the mystery, Christ shows up, takes you back to an event. And a buddy of ours was out hunting. And as you get accustomed to the amphibious life, as you practice the presence of God, as Brother Lawrence would say, you get to the place where Jesus can do this with you without facilitators. You know, I needed to be there for that one. And it was an honor. Oh, what an honor that was. That was an incredible time. And then Jesus took you to the beach, actually, which was just incredible. Then we all go to the beach, right? Yeah. Okay. But you can get used to this life to the point that Jesus can bring things up for you and meet you there and take you into something and heal something in you, something from your past. And that happened to a buddy of ours. He sent me a beautiful story that I won't read on this show, but he was in the woods. He was by himself hunting. He started feeling very young, very lost. And Jesus was raising that younger place. Christ met him. They had this incredibly beautiful, sweet encounter like you were describing in the stone hut, and healed part of his soul without others there or an expert therapist or, you know, ordinary mystics returning to the habitat for which we were made. And what's really cool about this is, you know, again, as you look at the scriptures, as you go down through Christian history, you begin to discover this is actually very common. This is the normal Christian experience, returning to the presence of God, living as that tree, rooted and nourished by his presence, and then being able to commune with him in the heart. Oh my goodness, I'm thinking of like Julian of Norwich, one of the more famous Christian mystics, and she had a series of revelations from Jesus, conversations and revelations when she thought she was at the point of death, and then she actually didn't die. She lived for like 30 more years. But she wrote a book called Revelations of Divine Love that's just become a classic. C.S. Lewis loved her, would often quote her. And so you start reading back to the thing, and you go, wait a second, this is very normal. But as disciples of the internet and of the modern age and of cynical pragmatism and all that. So Christ is up to things in the Muslim world, as people know. And there's a book out that will pop in the show notes called A Wind in the House of Islam. And it's a fascinating story of a University of Chicago professor who said, hey, has anybody noticed what's going on here? I think he's an Islamic studies guy. He got a grant. He went around the world, conducted these interviews, and the stories coming out of encounters with Jesus. So you had an encounter with Jesus. You had an encounter with Jesus. This book is filled with them, of Christ just simply showing up for Islamic people. So here's one story. Ali Akbar is a 30-year-old Muslim background, now believer, with large sad eyes who found sanctuary as a refugee in the home of an Assyrian Christian. As a follower of Jesus, he said, the security police were very angry with me. They took over our phones, homes, bank accounts, everything. Because I was a leader in our house church, I was arrested. They interrogated me so severely that my stomach began to bleed and my blood pressure dropped. I was rushed to the hospital where the doctor said I would die. They couldn't give me a blood transfusion because my blood pressure was so low they couldn't get the needle into a vein. Then, suddenly, I felt very warm, like a fire was in my body. My blood pressure became normal again. The Muslims all thought that since it was the time of Asherah, one of the, you know, Shiite holy days, that that was why he was healed. They were shocked, but they sent me home in the elevator. As I was leaving the hospital, I saw a vision of a man in a long white gown. I thought I was delirious. Later, though, my mother saw Jesus too, and he said to her, I saved your son. She repented of her disbelief, and all of our family came to Christ.
Wow.
He is showing up, showing up, showing up all over the world, doing fabulous Jesus type things. That's a very mystical quote experience, but it's very ordinary.
Yeah.
It's very like God, very, very what he does. I was reading back over some previous mystics. I came across the story of John Bosco. So he was 1800s, early 1800s, became a saint in the Catholic Church after his death. He ended up launching this global movement of schools and orphanages for children. Because if you know that background, this story, it says when John was 9 years old, he had a dream that was so clear, it felt like real life. He was standing in a field full of very poor boys who were acting up, fighting, playing, and saying awful things about God. John was a poor boy, just like them, but he shouted at them to get them to stop. When he did, a man with a glowing face appeared wearing a white robe. You will have to win these friends of yours with kindness, the man said, not with blows. Show them that sin is ugly and that goodness is beautiful. John was scared and confused. I'm just a boy, he said. How can you order me to do something that's impossible? I'll send you a teacher, the man told him. Then a woman appeared who glowed as if she were covered in stars, and the children around John, in the vision he's having this dream, turned into wild animals. Stay in your field for now, the woman told him. This is where you'll learn to be humble and strong. When she said this, all the wild animals turned into lambs. Everything will be clear in time, the woman told John. It was a vision, what would be the calling of his life, right? It's like Francis Assisi's vision. He's in a broken down church and he hears Jesus say to him, repair my church. And he thought Jesus meant the actual church he was in. But yeah, I mean, Francis ends up having this, you know, massive reform impact on the church, falling back in love with Christ. So we need to bring this week into landing, and we're telling stories to invite curiosity for our friends listening to become ordinary mystics, Christian mystics. Evelyn Underhill was a lovely, lovely woman, turn of the last century. She did a lot of work. She wrote kind of the tome on the history of Christian mysticism, but this is really... one of the things she wanted people to understand is, yeah, there's the Julian of Norwich, you know, there's the Francis of Assisi, but if you actually get into the weeds, you find there's just this thread of ordinary people like Alex Burton and Alan Arnold down through history who are just being amphibious and returning to the habitat of God and encountering Jesus. And she said this, she said, all these experiences happened not because God loved and attended to them more than he does to us, but because they loved and attended to him more than we do. Mm-hmm. It's available,
yeah,
but you do have to choose it.
Yeah,
you do have to choose it. So I think if I were to give people a couple, like, where should I go? What should I do? We're going to put the podcast on the prayer of descent in the show notes, because that would be a good thing to go practice,
right?
Right. And I would go back into the Pause app, folks, and we'll put that in the show. If you don't know what that is by this time, you're very new to us, but we have an app called the Pause app. And within there, there are experiences that will guide you into that centering place to encounter the Christ Jesus who lives within your soul. Okay. Here's what I want to do. We're going to do a new thing this week. We're going to add a pause at the end of the podcast so that your Spotify doesn't just kick up the next podcast to you or suddenly the news comes on or something else. Let's take a pause. And before we go into this pause, I want to pray together. A big piece of this is to give the presence of God permission in your life. Okay? So let's pray together. And we say, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, but especially you, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your help. I want to come back to the habitat that I was made for. I need to be that tree that is rooted in God. And I need to experience you. I do. I need to experience you, to be nourished and counseled and comforted and guided. I need you. I need your strength. I need your life in me. And so, Holy Spirit, I want to become an ordinary mystic. Would you help me to see and to hear Jesus as he is coming to me?